real skin results start with one daily ritual. Meet Daily Microfoliant from Dermalogica. This iconic exfoliating powder activates with water to gently polish away dullness and uneven texture. It leaves skin instantly smoother and more luminous while supporting your skin barrier. Formulated with professional expertise to deliver visible results daily, even on sensitive skin. Discover your healthiest skin today. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at checkout for an exclusive gift with your $65 purchase.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
If you have a badass bank card, do you have a pink one or the black one? I've got to say, both colors look and feel like a badge of honor. It's one of those little things that actually reflects how you've moved through life. Confident, intentional, and not afraid to do things differently. And that's really what Badass Bank is about. It was created to deliver true customer service, and honestly, you feel that. It's not just talk. They show up, they support you, and they make managing money feel a lot more human. What I love most is who they're for. Badass Bank is for the everyday badass, the people pushing through hard things, showing up for their families, rewriting their stories. Built by industry disruptors and backed by decades of banking experience, they're here to challenge the status quo and give you real control over your financial future. Badass Bank is looking for customers who expect more. So the question is, are you badass material? Consider this your invitation. Find your inner badass and visit BADASS.bank.
Member FDIC.
Pool days call for cookouts and lots of laundry. This Memorial Day at Lowe's, save $80 on a Charbroil Performance Series 4-Burner Gas Grill. Now just $199. Plus, get up to 45% off select major appliances to keep dishes, clothes, and food fresh. Having fun in the sun is easy with us in your corner. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 5/27. While supplies last, selection varies by location. See associate or Lowe's.com for details.
Meanwhile, you heard the music. You know what that means. Rob Bradford, WEEI. Baseball Isn't Boring joins us here. He's brought to you by McFarland Energy, the heating, cooling, and bioheat delivery pros that Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depend on. McFarlandEnergy.com. Bradford, what's up?
Oh, McFarland to you both. I am so jacked up. I'm very nostalgic today, fellas. I am. I just did a podcast with David Ross, and we got the big Hall of Fame, Red Sox Hall of Fame guys being inducted today. How life used to be. John Lester, Mike Timlin, Johnny Damon, the whole ball of wax. So
that's pretty good. David Ross, the next manager of the Boston Red Sox. That's pretty good.
Well, I just asked him that. You're going to have to listen to the podcast to see if he is.
Come on. I noticed this morning Craig Breslow did not commit to Chad Tracy. He was asked point blank, would you think about removing the interim label? I believe the quote was, he's done a fantastic job.
Yeah.
But he wouldn't commit at all to Chad Tracy. Do you think the Red Sox have turned any kind of corner in these 10 games under their interim manager?
No, it's impossible to tell. I think actually this series coming up will be interesting because you have one of the hottest teams, a really good team, and we saw what happened when they played a really good team, the Yankees. They kind of got smoked. So they've absolutely seemingly figured some things out, but that doesn't mean they're going to go on the type of heater that we've seen from some of these other teams like the Rays. But it's way too early to say, oh, there you go. There's your manager. This is the way to go. But I do know this, and I wrote this morning. They're in it. Like, they could be a playoff team because the American League is unbelievably mediocre. They do have talent, and they don't have to be world beaters to stay in this all the way to the trade deadline.
What's the clubhouse like right now, to the best of your knowledge, Bradfo? We saw the Contreras comments about the younger players, and then Marcelo Meyer kind of like defending himself and the other young guys and saying that's trash. We also did see them all stick up for each other when Trevor Story got drilled. So what do you think the relationships are like inside the clubhouse?
Yeah, I kind of think that was, to be honest with you, a big nothing. I mean, I think that Wilson, and some people have told me this since, like, so the Wilson Contreras, the translation in English, like what he was trying to say, what he actually said, wasn't spot on. And I never got the sense that those guys were butting heads, or there was guys butting heads, but that's not really, to me, the issue. I think they get along. That's fine. But to me, the issue is the same stuff we talked about all along, which is, okay, when things go bad, when you have to sort of circle the wagons, you have to turn to people who have been through this before, who do you turn to? And that remains to be seen. I know that everything's rosy right now because you came off a sweep, but when the rubber meets the road and you have to like actually deal with some real stuff, because I don't think that was real stuff. I don't. But when you have to deal with some real stuff, who are the guys who are going to get in the middle of the room and say, all right, guys, let's get our act together? Because, you know, you look at the Phillies, they fired their manager, but that clubhouse is a bunch of older guys. They know how to deal with this sort of stuff like that. With this case, I think Chad Tracy can be a really good manager, but he's a new guy and everything's rosy right now. But once again, like that to me, that's the clubhouse dynamic that we have to keep sort of our ears pinned for.
Rob Bradford joining us here on Jones and Keefe. We're brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. You can visit Jackson Lumber and Millwork for all your residential remodeling or commercial building materials and supplies. Jackson Lumber and Millwork, providing solutions and delivering results since 1946. Bradfo, when it comes to this series, you just said this will probably tell us more about whether or not the Red Sox are turning a corner. It's four against the Rays starting tonight at Fenway. I know the Rays have a better record, and they've been hot. They've won 9 out of 10. They've won 6 straight. They're 24-12. Who has the better roster, Boston or Tampa?
Well, I think the Red Sox have a better roster. That doesn't mean they're a better team. And I think the Rays, it's funny because it's all the pieces together, how they fit. And we've said this all along with the Red Sox. Like, yeah, you have talent, but do the pieces fit together? Do you have too many outfielders? Are those guys going to be able to get on runs because they are playing enough? You know, what's the infield situation like? I think what the Rays have figured out really, really early in the season is where everything fits. You know, this guy Chandler Simpson, who can beat the freeze, the guy in the Braves, the sprinter, like he's one of the fastest guys in baseball. I think he is the fastest guy in baseball. If you look at his numbers, like all the analytical numbers which people obsess over, they're terrible. But you know what he does? He hits the ball, he runs real fast, he gets on base, he steals a bunch of bases. And for the Rays, like, that works. That's fine. So I just, to answer your question, I think overall the Red Sox are more talented, but it really, like, you've got to make sure the pieces fit a whole lot more than they did in the first month of the season for the Red Sox.
We saw the report that Cora and Breslow disagreed in spring training on where Meyer and Durbin should play. Cora wanted what it ended up being. Breslow wanted Meyer at third and Durbin at second. I think Meyer should be at short, honestly, but now that Cora's gone, do you think there's any plans on moving any of the infielders around?
Well, they shouldn't, because Caleb Durbin is the second best defensive third baseman in baseball right now.
But shouldn't he be in Worcester?
You know, well, I mean, he's creeping up.
Last night, Keith.
He's
hot as a pistol.
You don't want to take him out now.
In your face,
Keith. Come on. He's your guy. You already gave him a nickname. You got to, you know, it's like me with the Wizard of Iz. You know, is he kind of Falefa? Come on. He's going to do something good at some point.
All right.
But I think that he's, as I said, the second best defensive third baseman right now. So I don't think why should you move him off? Yeah, he has to hit. And if he doesn't hit, if he's hitting 150 at the end of May, then you're going to have to find another third baseman matter how good he is.
You're right. And the analytics certainly back up Durbin's fine defensively at third. I don't think he is a hitter at the major league level. But
you don't
what
like
about
how he
guys?
Looks at third. You think he's too short to play third.
No, but he also he's a useless at bat. Like, that's more of my concern.
You're right.
The look's part of it. No, I think actually the bigger issue is I'd flip Meyer and Story. And I know that wasn't the issue with Cora and Breslow, but I'm saying, like, if you're going to win on pitching and defense, you might as well maximize your defense. And right now, Story is the weakest part of your defense.
Yeah, as we said before, they just aren't doing
that. They're not doing that. Okay.
I don't think that's in the conversation, because it's sort of like when Story was the guy you know, when he took when he played second in Bogarts, it was clear, I'm a shortstop, and I'm going to be a shortstop. And, like, we can say that doesn't make a difference.
Yeah, but, like,
but,
you Cal Ripken and A-Rod moved off a short. And those are the two best shortstops maybe of all time.
But, you know, this is how baseball, this is a team dynamic. And especially if they say, well, you know, we really want to keep Meyer in this one spot. It's fine. And also, by the way, like, Meyer still isn't playing every day, and he still has a ways to go. I don't disagree with you. At some point, with all this stuff, you have to figure out what it works, because you've got to go on a run and you've got to put your best foot forward. And I say that after they fired the manager and six coaches. They clearly are saying the time is now for a lot of things. I just don't think for that thing.
I agree, and I'm not even arguing with you. I'm just saying, like, if we're going to prop up Durbin being, you know, the second best analytically at third, you need to call out the guy who's 27th at short.
You're using the same metrics.
You just asked about, like, that, you know, the second and third and moving them back and forth, whatever. So, yeah, I think that this team still has a lot to figure out. You have one of these sweeps against a team that's sort of, like, okay in Detroit. It's like a sugar rush for all these fans and the fan base and the team and everything else. But that doesn't mean that all of a sudden you're going to solve what ailed you, which is you still have to hit home runs. You still have to get hits with runners in scoring position. All of it. Like, that's how you're going to win. You have to get better versions of your players.
I agree with all that. But, you know, we only have 10 games to evaluate it. These have been the best 10-game stretch they've had. So I would say it bodes well, but we don't know the answer on that yet. I'd agree with it. Are the Red Sox, do they have any concerns about Roman Anthony? He has not been productive this year, at least to the degree we expected. He's partying with Wiggy's guy after the marathon all over social media, and there's been plenty of that. He's also Bradfo, and maybe the Red Sox dodged another bullet here, and he's not going to go on the IL, but it's another injury scare with him. Oblique swinging last year, back this year, and now the hand-wrist thing, whatever it is, hand issue. Are there concerns internally about Roman Anthony?
Well, first of all, I have to clarify, if he was just partying, yes, I can't even say it.
No, definitely
But
not.
if he was just going out for a party, and it wasn't with Wiggy's guy, would it be different?
Like, I don't know. It was this guy Bean Shooter. I just heard about the guy the day before. Next thing I know, he was out there partying it up with Roman Anthony.
Whoever he's going out to party with, whatever. I don't know. But here's the problem. And I said this is another first guess for all this stuff, which is I have no problem with anything Roman Anthony's doing. But I have a problem with how the Red Sox positioned him, which was there was no safety net. Roman Anthony has had his moments and is having an okay year, but that's not good enough because he was supposed to be the alpha. And when he's not the alpha, that becomes a problem. And everyone says, oh, well, you know, how dare he do this? Well, this is how it works with players. As I talked to Roman the other day about this, they, well, how are pitchers pitching you different? Well, last year, all they gave me was fastballs. And this year, I don't never see a fastball. This year, I never see a pitch right over the plate. And that's how it works with second-year players. The problem is that you have to factor that in when you're with the Red Sox, understanding that you might have a drop-off, and this guy can't be Vladimir Guerrero out of the chute, maybe.
Well, he hasn't been. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
No.
Rob Bradford on Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. You can check him out. Baseball Isn't Boring on the Odyssey app, WEEI.com. And, of course, at Bradfo on Twitter. Rob Bradford, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much. We'll talk next week.
Guys, thank you so much. And, like, I'll pass my regards to the Hall of Famers who are being announced today. I know you guys are big John Lester fans.
John Lester?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which
I never should have lowballed him. That's my stance.
No offense. I'm good on John Lester going into the Red Sox Hall of Fame. Johnny Damon?
Sure.
Yes? Is he like four years? And then Timlin? Like, no offense. I was like, boy, they're really letting a lot of people into this Red Sox Hall of Fame.
Well, tough crop.
I was not on the committee. I said this. I don't know how you can have some of these guys not have Beckett. And I'm not just saying that because he had the greatest quote of all time about pooping your pants and changing your shirt. Like, Beckett should be on there if these guys are.
Yeah. That was him on Cora? I'm a small hall guy.
I didn't know
we outed that source. Okay, good.
All due respect to all the inductees. I'm a small hall guy.
You are. All right, Brad, folks. Good stuff.
All right. See you guys.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
The Red Sox front office report this week is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, official supermarket of the Red Sox Radio Network, by findmassmoney.gov, and by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow. And it is Chief Baseball Officer Craig Breslow who joins us this morning for the first time this season after a sweep for your team. Craig, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good. Looks like, at least in this series, things may be turning around here for the ball club.
Sure. It was a great series in Detroit, I think. We saw performance improve across all aspects. We got quality starting pitching. Bullpen came in and held leads. Got some big hits with runners in scoring position, hit the ball out of the park, and played consistently good defense and ran the bases really well.
Craig, on the firing of your manager, Alex Cora, what were specific things that he was not doing that you need your new manager in Tracy to do for this club?
Sure. Look, I think any conversation about Alex has to start with what he's meant to this organization, the contributions that he's made, the success that he had in the role. And I'm not going to sit here and cite specific kind of criteria or decisions, because that's really not what this was about. Ultimately, the performance on the field was not what we had expected, and accountability for that falls on me. But I also have the responsibility to do everything I possibly can to turn that around. And we just felt like the time had come for kind of some new perspective, new direction, and a chance for a fresh start.
On that, though, accountability, I would just say Andrew Bailey has been the pitching coach up at the time of the departure. It felt like everybody that you had hired was safe, and the people that were hired and worked with Cora were let go. What do you say to that?
Yeah, I would push back on that, and I would say that the pitching had been inconsistent. That is absolutely true. My job is to look at all of the options that we have to improve things, and ultimately made the decision that in some cases change was necessary, and of course in others it wasn't. I have confidence in the pitching group and their ability, Andrew and others, to get us on track. Hopefully over the last week we've seen evidence of that.
I think for us as fans, it's good to hear what you have to say about it, because it can clear things up, and there's this sort of feeling out there that there was a disconnect between you and Alex Cora when it comes to, I'll call it roster construction based on the analytical as opposed on the baseball part of things. What did you feel like? Was there a disconnect kind of there from your perspective between you guys?
No, I don't think so. I think the best teams are those that are able to blend all of the information that's available, and that information can come in the form of analytics and projections. It comes in the form of experience. It comes in the form of speaking to coaches and to managers and understanding what they're seeing in real time and from their interactions with players. And I think that's why we try to make decisions collaboratively, and we try to make them as a group. Ultimately, kind of final decision making in baseball operations rests with me. That's the nature of being the leader of the group. But I also think it's my responsibility to seek out different perspectives and try to synthesize all of that information. And that's why Alex was a part of our conversations through the off season and in spring training as we put the roster together.
Yeah, Craig, without it being like an us versus them or any kind of idea of that, but going off of what you just said, like it appears to us from the outside like there is such a dedication to the use of driveline tools, the philosophy there. Who do you feel in the organization now is bringing that other perspective that you describe, that other way of approaching, especially with the way that you run and develop an offense?
Yeah, I think the first thing I would say is this is not about being driveline or not driveline. It's about being the Boston Red Sox. And it's ensuring that we're meeting every player where they are, meeting their needs, because players are different today than they were a decade ago, and they're going to facilities in the off seasons on their own. And they've grown up with pitch data and batted ball data and different technologies than certainly I did as a player. And so to ignore all of that would mean that we're not providing our players with what they need to be successful. And I think taking that a step further to your point, you know, different perspectives come from different experiences. We take into account evaluators that are watching players on the ground and scouts, and we try to marry that with some of the information that we have coming out of the office. And like I said, talking to people on the ground and getting kind of firsthand experience and perspective from them.
Craig, when you talk,
go ahead. Wiggy.
No, I was going to say, when you talk about roster, how aggressive are you willing to be, let's say, come trade deadline, whether you're in it or out it when it comes to making big moves?
Sure. Our hope and our expectation is over the next 2.5 months that we have leading up to the deadline, we're going to play quality, consistent baseball that's going to end up with us winning a bunch of games. We're going to be in a position to, you know, to make moves that improve our outlook in 26. That was the expectation all offseason. That's what we talked about all spring. So, you know, in terms of prioritizing 2026, a huge piece of the decision to make the changes that we did at the time that we did was because we believe that we have a really good team that's capable of a deep run in 26. That hasn't changed at all. So, you know, I think to answer your question, we're constantly looking at ways to improve our roster. And if there is something as we approach the deadline that makes sense, we're absolutely going to be aggressive in pursuing it.
There's a little back and forth between Contreras and Marcelo Meyer this week. Any concern from you that there's the disconnect is the word of the day, or that there's
friction
when it comes to veterans and the young guys on this team?
No, not at all. Being around the guys and especially over the last week and a half or so and watching them interact in the clubhouse, absolutely not.
Craig, I driveline is such a buzzword as it pertains to the last couple weeks, and it's clear that the old baseball guys like Cora, in not in age in terms of approach, we're strongly disagreeing about its implementation. There was a story in Mass Live from Chris Cotillo about how there was friction between current and former players about utilizing the techniques. My question is this like a wedge issue for you that you either are utilizing this form of analytics or you're not someone that's going to have a long time on the team?
No, that's kind of the shortest, most appropriate answer I can provide, but like I said earlier, this is about being able to meet our players where they are. And if players are bringing to us information or methods that they're receiving in the offseason, we have to demonstrate some expertise in those areas. Otherwise, we're failing them. But again, this isn't about driveline. This is about the Red Sox. And this is about you know, understanding what we prioritize and we value internally. And, you know, there are players who will come to us and say that they've spent time at a facility in the offseason and they want to continue with that type of training. And there are players who say that they don't, and either is perfectly acceptable. You know, kind of there's a lot of space between, you know, where a player is today and where they can be as they continue to develop. And in that space is where coaches live, and their job is to figure out how to get the most out of every player.
Update from you on where Roman Anthony is today.
Sure. You know, fortunately, all of the imaging had come back negative. So, you know, he's still got some wrist discomfort. It's getting better day to day. So, you know, we'll check in later and figure out his exact availability. But I think the most encouraging news here is that it seems as though he's avoided any significant injury.
Craig, any update on Ranger Suarez? Because before the hamstring, it looked like his last couple outings were pretty good. And is Bayo somebody that we're going to see consistently come out of the bullpen more, or was that just a one-off?
Starting with Ranger, also making progress day-to-day. you know, we're learning a lot more every day. But fortunately, he's improved over the last couple of days. He's gone out and thrown. We'll look to add some intensity to make sure that the hamstring tightness doesn't get worse as he does lean into it a little bit. And then we'll make a decision in terms of what exactly is the right timeline for him. And then with Bayo, I think that's to be determined. I mean, credit to him for coming in a couple nights ago and shutting down Detroit. Looked like the best total performance that he's had in terms of command and execution and overall results. And you know, I think what we're going to try to do is position him to be as successful as possible. That could be, you know, throwing the first pitch of the game. That could be coming in after someone who maybe helps set the lineup a little bit more favorably. So we'll make that determination over the next few days.
Craig, are you guys considering removing the interim tag from Chad Tracy this summer? And what would you need to see from him to decide this is going to be our manager going forward?
Yeah, we'll figure that out. I mean, right now, our focus and the rest of the organization has been on supporting Chad in any way that we possibly can. And we've seen him over the last week and a half be this incredibly consistent, stabilizing, and familiar voice. He's done an absolutely fantastic job in handling this transition, and also in his kind of keeping the focus on the day-to-day and making this all about the players, which I think is incredibly important at this point. But we'll continue to have conversations, and any of those will take place between Chad and I.
And Craig, about a year ago, a little bit less, you said after trading Devers to the Giants that you were not as talented, but you felt like that roster could win more games, and you were right. Today, moving forward past the firing of Alex Cora, do you believe that this is a playoff team?
I do. Yep. I believed it in the offseason. I believed it coming into spring training. I believe it right now. And this decision, this really, really difficult decision, it was driven by that. I will be the first to acknowledge that we have not played up to our potential. And we've got a lot of season in front of us to do that and to get back on the right track. And hopefully, like I said, what we've seen over the last 3 days is the start of that.
Well, and you say you are very careful to say the roster's on you, and ultimately this is all on you. So has John Henry given you an expectation for this season? And is that expectation, since you are the one responsible, is that expectation that this is a playoff team?
I think the expectations that we have internally that ownership has are shared with our fans, which is there's a standard here of competing for World Series championships every year. That's certainly my expectation. I think that's the expectation of ownership. And like I said, I'm going to do everything, and as an organization, we're going to do everything to make good on that expectation.
Is there any update? Just a lot of fans love Jason Varitek as a player, as a coach. Any update on? I know there was talk of him being offered another role. Have you or anybody else in the organization spoken to him about that? And what's the status on that?
Sure, Jason Varitek is he's an incredibly meaningful figure in this organization. He's a Red Sox Hall of Famer and legend, and all of that praise and admiration is absolutely warranted, and it's something that I share. I have tremendous respect for Tech. And we told him that there is a place in this organization for him for as long as he wants it. And the specific details and timeline will kind of remain between us. But he has meant so much to this organization that it's impossible to put that into words appropriately.
All right, Craig. Well, we appreciate you taking the time. We will talk to you again next week. That's Craig Breslow of the Boston Red Sox. Thanks, Craig.
You got it. Thank you.
All right. We can get nuggets coming up, certainly.
Yeah.
From that.
They drive line, man. It's, what's the thing? Dumbledore, what's the thing on a Harry Potter chime?
Dumbledore?
You have to have Santo.
Why are you talking about Dumbledore?
No, isn't there a word that's like verboten?
Voldemort.
You mean Voldemort. There it is.
Dumbledore is good. Voldemort is evil. Get it straight.
Right. Oh, I was trying to respect him not being named. That is absolute. In every story, different people had different opinions. Some people thought it was time for Cor to go. Some people disagreed. But Driveline was
the wedge.
The wedge in all of
it's
this.
It's not about Driveline. It's about the Red Sox.
But he kept saying, I want to meet the players where they are. It's the very definition of not meeting the players where they are.
I know. I'm with you.
Like, why can't you just say it's what we believe, get on board, or get out?
I wish, because that's what his actions are saying, right? It's like the opposite of put your money where your mouth is, because it's like he's already doing the action, so why not just tell everybody what you're doing?
Right. And you asked it
several different ways, so you could not have done a better job.
No, I know. Why can't you just own up to it?
If players are not on board with it, that's fine.
But that's literally the opposite of what you read in every single story.
But do you believe him?
Of course not.
Okay.
Chad Tracy better be.
And Jason Varitek has an opportunity with the organization. Yeah, in producing Red Sox baseball. I mean, you can have any. That is the most blanket statement you could make.
All right. We are in Hilton Head, South Carolina. Some of us are, Wiggy and Chime, back at the Catches Law Injury Attorney Studios. No fee unless you win. And Chime is here with what is trending.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now, brought to you by FindMassMoney.gov. The Red Sox got the sweep. They beat the Tigers 4-0 last night. Sonny Gray went 5 scoreless innings in his return to the mound. The Sox come home to start up a 4-game tilt with the Tampa Bay Rays. First pitch, 7 o'clock tonight, with Jake Bennett on the mound for your Boston Red Sox. You can catch all the action right here on WEEI, the Odyssey app, and across the Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Network. Shaw's proud to be a local since 1860. Christian Arcand, get you ready for first pitch on the MassMutual Red Sox pregame show at 6 o'clock. Framber Valdez was dealt a 5-game suspension for plunking Trevor Story the other night. AJ Hinch, the Tigers' manager, also given a 1-game suspension, which he served last night. In the Stanley Cup playoffs, the Sabres beat the Canadiens 4-2, and the Ducks beat the Golden Knights 3-1. In the NBA playoffs, the Spurs bounced back with a big win against the Timberwolves 133-95, and the Knicks beat the 76ers 108-102. Trending Now was brought to you by FindMassMoney.gov. There's lots of things to celebrate this month, from Mother's Day to Memorial Day, and finding money you didn't even know you had. You can have unclaimed money from a forgotten savings account, uncashed payroll checks, or a refund check that never got to you. It takes less than 30 seconds to search your name. FindMassMoney.gov. It's fast, easy, and free. That's what's trending. We've got Hill Notes coming up here on The Greg Hill Show.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
If you have a badass bank card, do you have a pink one or the black one? I've got to say, both colors look and feel like a badge of honor. It's one of those little things that actually reflects how you've moved through life. Confident, intentional, and not afraid to do things differently. And that's really what Badass Bank is about. It was created to deliver true customer service, and honestly, you feel that. It's not just talk. They show up, they support you, and they make managing money feel a lot more human. What I love most is who they're for. Badass Bank is for the everyday badass, the people pushing through hard things, showing up for their families, rewriting their stories. Built by industry disruptors and backed by decades of banking experience, they're here to challenge the status quo and give you real control over your financial future. Badass Bank is looking for customers who expect more. So the question is, are you badass material? Consider this your invitation. Find your inner badass and visit BADASS.bank.
Member FDIC.
Pool days call for cookouts and lots of laundry. This Memorial Day at Lowe's, save $80 on a Charbroil Performance Series 4-burner gas grill. Now just $199. Plus, get up to 45% off select major appliances to keep dishes, clothes, and food fresh. Having fun in the sun is easy with us in your corner.
Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 5/27. While supplies last, selection varies by location. See associate or Lowe's.com for details.
Springtime's the perfect time to turn the page and refresh your home style. The only problem? It can be expensive. Luckily, there's a better way to shop well-worthy pieces for less at Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's negotiates with manufacturers to get you the best everyday low prices, giving the shopping power back to you. The power to get more style, comfort, and quality for less on amazing pieces like stylish mid-century dining sets made for hosting those big spring brunches, pop-up sleeper sectionals with all the bells and whistles so you can turn any room into a guest room, and next-level Bobopedic mattresses so you can get a great night's rest after you've finished redecorating every room. So, when you're ready to spring into new style, stop into your nearest store or shop online and see how you can get wow-worthy style for less with Bob's Discount Furniture.
Now it's Trevor Story, and he just gets hit. Fastball in the back of Story.
That will not go well. Here come the Red Sox out of the dugout. Here comes Contreras first.
Running out, Story went and said something at Valdez. Sox coming out of the dugout. Here come the Tigers.
Uh-oh.
Contreras is in the middle of it, walking Story up the line.
It is 93.7 WEEI, Rich Shurtleff, Ken Laird, three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson, and this is great. It's our first time talking to the interim manager of the Boston Red Sox, Chad Tracy. Hey, Chad, thanks for coming on with us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Hey, Chad, we haven't talked to you. Obviously, this is our first time doing it since you have been the interim manager. How are you informed that you were going to be the new guy in charge for the Boston Red Sox?
That was a whirlwind of a day, obviously. It was... I was managing the game in Worcester. I think we were in the bottom of the fourth inning. I was in the dugout, and just it's easy for our people, our farm directors, a lot of communication that occurs during a game if players are needed. And there was a phone call that came, and I was told I need to step inside and call Perez, which I did, and that's where I found out the news. So crazy day.
Did you have any inkling that this was going to happen?
Not at all. No. I think it's well documented in what I've said so far about the relationship I had with some of the people that were here that went through that. But no, there was no knowledge whatsoever, and sat there for quite a few moments in shock, trying to gather myself not only about what they had told me, but what had happened to them. So no idea.
I mean, it's obviously a strange situation, and I don't know, how was your relationship with Alex Cora? Has he contacted you after all this?
Alex and I are great. I've known him for a really long time. He obviously played for my father years ago. So, yes, we've talked a number of times. Obviously, like the details of those, I'll keep to he and I. But we have talked a handful of times.
Now, has there been any discussion, Chad, about your potential removal of the interim from your manager title by anybody in the front office?
We haven't talked about that yet. I mean, the main focus when I came here was to, everybody's been incredible about just getting me settled. And it wasn't just me. There was a lot of staff shifts and new people that came in, getting everybody settled, and our primary focus being on our players, getting them settled with the changes, and then just stabilizing things and getting it moving in the right direction. That's where our focus is right now. And if and when the time comes for that, it'll present itself. But we have not gotten any conversations about that at this point.
You know, Chad, there was a good article. I think it was Sean McAdam who wrote it. And he was talking about how he believed that the interim title should be taken away. And not as this was going to be anything permanent, but at least for the time being or for the rest of the year, because he believed, and I don't mean to paraphrase incorrectly, but that he believes that it would make your job, the stress would be off your back a little bit, because you could basically continue to plan for a little bit of a longer term instead of knowing that at any moment you could be back with the Woo Sox. Do you believe that to be the case? Would it make your job easier if they did remove that title?
I think this will sound like a cliche answer, but like I have not thought about it. I know what the task is that was asked of me. For me, it is 150% about our players and just doing what I was asked to do and come in here. And I know these players. I've had most of them have come through Worcester. So my focus is on that and helping the Red Sox get on track. It really is. That's all I've concentrated on. A lot of the things happening right now for me are, I'm one that tends to count my blessings, and there's been a lot of cool things that have happened to me in the last couple of weeks to get this opportunity. So I have not put any thought into what's next, or we need to talk about this or that. Those times will come, and right now we have a job to do and a focus on our players.
Chad, you mentioned your father. He had an unbelievable start when he took over the Rockies. Reflecting back, you know, is there anything that he, any advice that he's given you that has particularly hit home here as you've taken over the Red Sox here some years later?
Yeah, a lot of advice. I mean, it's obviously you guys know what he did, you know, in his career. So like that's an incredible resource for me stepping into this chair. So for me to be, and I've talked with him a lot, and he's my main resource, and just leaned on him. Well, I mean, I've leaned on him the whole way through my career, through the minors, doing everything, it's the climb to here, but even now leaning on him. But his biggest advice has always been, developing relationships with your players and being as open and honest with them as possible. And that's where you get respect from your group. So I'll continue to lean on him for as long as I am blessed with the opportunity to do this, which hopefully is a long time. But as long as I have him there, I'll always lean on him.
Your dad managed Adrian Beltre. Did he ever talk to you about how weird it was that he hated when people touched his head?
No, I don't recall. I mean, I was old enough in the time he was doing that in L.A., managing in L.A.
Yeah.
I was old, like very old enough to have remembered. I don't know if that became more of a thing later on in his career, but I don't recall that when he was in L.A. But, I mean, my dad was also at the helm of the Dodgers when Adrian Beltre was a rookie when he first arrived on the scene. So that may have been something developed later once he, started to build his Hall of Fame resume.
Oh, the videos. I remember when he was here, like David Ortiz used to totally F with him. He would go behind him, and when he wasn't doing anything, he'd tap him on the back of the head. And I'm talking, he would have a fit. Like, he would truly freak out when someone would do that.
I remember in Texas, his time that he went through and spent with the Texas Rangers. I remember that being a thing with Elvis Andrus, who always messed with him. I remember, I definitely remember that. I just don't remember him doing it as far back as, he probably made his debut around 2001 or something. It was around that time that my dad was there, but I don't remember doing it then. But he's a rookie player at that point. He probably was like, anybody can slap me on the head when they want, but as you get a little bit more established.
Well, what's it like, Chad, to take over a clubhouse in midstream like this with all these unique players? Has anybody like stepped up to fill the leadership void, or are you able to do that right away, or do you have to kind of let it grow?
Well, we have, you guys behind the scenes when you're in here, there's perceptions of, you don't have that, but like we do. Like Trevor Story's a leader, Wilson Contreras a leader, Garrett Crochet's a leader. Like there's plenty of them. Chappie, like there's plenty. From my perspective, there was a bit of ease to it in the sense that, like what I told you earlier, I think there's 16 or something players, or maybe more, including rehabs, that have played for me in Worcester. So my familiarity with the group was pretty high. And even the veterans, some of the veterans that I haven't had, I spent a lot, most of the camp with them or multiple spring trainings with them. So coming in here and talking to the players and addressing the players was honestly like pretty low on the list as far as like, things I had to worry about, because I've developed a pretty good rapport with a lot of them over the years. So that was just kind of reacclimating with them, and that happened pretty quickly.
Hey, Chad, you've inherited a pretty versatile roster, guys that can do a lot of different things. And so you have your lineup's going to change all the time. And I'm just curious if you have autonomy over those lineups, or is the lineups that are put out there more of a collaborative effort?
No, I have autonomy over those, but to say I have autonomy over those and say that's not a collaborative effort. And when you're sitting in the manager's chair, like I sit here at the end of a game and I talk to Jose Flores and we go through and talk through it. I talk with Andrew Bailey about who's available on the mound tomorrow out of the bullpen, and we go through it. Brez is in here, like we all talk. Like if you just sit in the chair and just make every single decision on your own, you're not using the really smart, intelligent people around you. That's not the best way to go about it. But the final pen to paper on what we're going to do is my call. And not one time has Brez walked in here and said, you're going to do this. If that's a perception, that's completely false. But we do have a lot more information available to us on making those than obviously people in the public have. So we're making the best and most educated decisions we can, and also keeping front of mind, you know, there are 13 position players on this team, and there isn't a whole lot of successful teams out there that play nine of them and don't play the other four. Like, you have to find the ways to maximize your roster. That's part of a 162-game season.
All right, we're talking to interim Sox manager Chad Tracy. All right, let's get to last night. Valdez, was that intentional, the ball they threw at Trevor Story?
I said last night when they asked me on the post game, I said, yes, it was. It was fairly obvious to me. If you were here in person, saw it, it looked pretty indisputable that was intentional.
Yeah. Valdez is denying that. But when you see, I mean, your team, I got to be honest, when you watch a team, it looks like they were all fired up. Yeah. They kind of rallied around them. Is that, I know it sounds bad, but can a moment like that actually energize your team and unite them at a time where they really need it?
Well, I think it's, you know, you prefer something like that, first and foremost, something like that doesn't happen, you know, just because you don't want to see one of your players get hurt, you know, like if Trevor Story got hurt right there, that would have been upsetting. But in the second half of it, like to see Wilson and the rest of the group immediately out there right behind Trevor without hesitating, those are certainly moments where it becomes very clear to the group and to Trevor and everybody else, like, you know, this is a family in here and we got each other's back. And they didn't like that very much. So they shouldn't. So they responded accordingly.
I'm liking Contreras more and more as the days go on. He's got a little bit of an attitude, doesn't he?
He's a great dude. Great dude, good leader, high energy, plays the game the right way, has been around for a long time. Pays attention, helps our young guys. If you guys really pay attention to him on the infield, he's constantly watching where everybody's positioned. He'll whistle reminders like, hey, watch the bunt. He's just very in tune to what's going on.
So no beef between him and Marcelo?
Not even close. No.
Was that a case of people twisting words, or what happened there? Because that was
I think it was probably more of a case of one person asking one question at one locker and then another asking a different question at a different locker and then taking those two things and putting them together and say, like, acting like one was in response to the other. There was not 1 ounce of beef between those two guys. They're in a really good spot.
And despite there not being a beef, it's a reality of a locker room nowadays where you get like two different factions of people, like the youth and you get, you know, the veterans, and sometimes they don't see eye to eye on a lot of different things. How is it as a manager to be able to kind of speak the language of both of them and make them all agree that they all have the same goal?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I'll speak on our team, like in my time here, which has been coming up on just only a week and a half, but we have an incredibly awesome group in here, including the veteran players that have been around a while, Sonny Gray, Chappie, guys like that, that are unselfish and willing to do whatever. Like, you guys have seen Chappie pitch in the eighth inning before. Like, if that's, like, you know, a dangerous, like, they're just egoless, really, really good people. So as far as dealing with, you know, people saying, oh, you're going to have to deal with this or that. No, I've dealt with nothing. These guys have welcomed me with open arms and been incredible. And then you couple that and pair that with a whole plethora, I guess you could say, of young players that I've managed for extended periods of time in the minor leagues. And I've gotten to know them, you know, really intimately over the time I had them. This has been, it's a really fun group to be a part of.
Chad, how does it work with the new hitting coaches? Because, you know, it's unusual. You have three of them midstream here. Does anything change with the philosophy? How does that work?
No, I don't think, I mean, yeah, there's different conversations we're having. I wouldn't say a bunch of stuff changes. The early part of that, as you guys can imagine, if you're a hitting coach and you're coming in to work with a group of hitters that doesn't know you that well, step one is you got to get to know them. The coaches have to be delicate as far as, like, I need to get to know the player, what he likes, what he doesn't like, what makes him tick, all those things. You can't just come in and say, we're going to do this, this, and this. The player will look at you and say, you haven't spent time around me. So they've been great about that. Mainly taking the information we have and simplifying as much as possible. From my perspective, like, hitting a baseball is very, very hard. And hitting a baseball, if you got 7, 8, 9 different things you're worried about, it's even harder. So how do we take the information we have and simplify it into a very concise plan? And I know just recently there's been conversations around, like, you know, hey, it's Major League Baseball. They throw hard. Let's not be late to the fastball. If you start from there, that's a good base. So those are just some small things we've started to talk about here in the last handful of days. And let's build from there, but keeping it as simple as we can.
How scary was it seeing Roman Anthony hurt his hand the other day?
Yeah, I mean, it's Roman, right? Like, we love Roman. He's a great player. Anytime you see any one of your really good players, or any player for that matter, kind of wince on the field and you're wondering what's going on, it's scary. And you immediately start thinking about, like, what's going on here? How bad is this going to be? How long can we be without him? Those thoughts go through your head. So, and I obviously have a great relationship with Roman, so I felt for him. So, yeah, it was a little bit of a scary moment for, especially once we decided that he's going to have to come out of the game, and we had to make a change.
All right, Chad, this is, there's just, I don't know if you know the answer to this, but it's kind of confusing to me. When everything happened with you being made the interim manager and obviously Alex Cora moving on, there was an announcement that Jason Varitek was going to be part of the organization. And now all of a sudden, it sure doesn't seem like he's part of the organization. Do you know what happened there?
I don't. And I'm not dodging that in any way. I was not a part of a part of what went on. As far as why or any of that. So I can't comment on it. Other than to tell you, I've also talked to Tech, who I've become close with over my years here. So the relationships, with those people are still strong. But I didn't. And, you know, and I know Tech's, you know, such a classy person. Like we have not in conversations got into a lot of the details of what, why, how, you know, none of that. And that's, obviously, I was very shielded from that because I was sitting in the dugout in Worcester when all that occurred. So I did not get got into details on that.
Well, Chad, good luck. I know that this has got to be a kind of a cool thing. I mean, this is something you didn't expect at the beginning of the season. And now, you know, you're sitting here managing the Boston Red Sox. You're at Fenway Park. I mean, that part of it, has that hit you yet that, you know, I'm actually doing this right now? And who knows how long it's going to be. But right now, you are the manager of this team.
Yeah, it took a few days, you know, like till I finally settled, and then you kind of realize the magnitude of it. But it's not lost on me. You guys, I don't know if you know my whole history. I've spent, including my playing career, I've spent 22 years in the minor leagues between playing and coaching, the different roles I've filled. So this was my first call after 22 years of grinding it out down there. So after a few days, you kind of sat there and think about that. And yeah, the moment hits you pretty hard that, you know, everything you've worked for in the least expected moment came true. So definitely taken the time since then to kind of revel in it, but quickly snap yourself out of it and realize, like, it's not about you. It's about our guys and our players and getting the team on track and staying focused on that.
Well, I like the fact that the team's showing a little bit of attitude over the last couple of games. This has been
fun.
Yeah,
shows you care.
Yep.
Shows you're invested.
Yeah. I do. It does feel a little bit different. And I do like what we're seeing. And obviously, I'm rooting for the Red Sox, not just because I'm a fan of the team, but because when they do well, the station does well. So,
right.
Selfishly, I've got two different reasons.
They're fighting. You're dead on. I'm proud of them. Like, they're fighting right now and definitely showing signs of life. So we just got to try to keep them moving in the right direction. There's a long way to go, but they are fighting. They're a good group.
That's awesome, Chad. All right, Chad, thanks for coming on with us. We really appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, thanks, Chad. Thank you. Chad Tracy is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, the official supermarket of the Red Sox Radio Network, by Arbella, Here for Baseball Fans, Here for Good, and by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow.
617-779-7937. Maybe that's why Craig Breslow, when he was on with the Greg Hill Show, and he had not said this yet on record that I'm aware of.
Okay.
Last year when they traded Devers, we're going to win more games than we lose, which is not a playoff prediction.
No.
He was right about that.
Yes.
He was on the record saying we are going to win more games than we lose. And you know what would have happened if they lost more games than they won and missed the playoffs? It would have been thrown back in his face. This might get thrown back in his face as well. But I believe Curtis asked him, are they a playoff team? Here's what he said.
Moving forward past the firing of Alex Cora, do you believe that this is a playoff team?
I do. Yep. I believed it in the offseason. I believed it coming into spring training. I believe it right now. And this decision, this really, really difficult decision, it was driven by that. I will be, you know, the first to acknowledge that we have not played up to our potential, you know, and
we've got a lot of season in front of us to do that and to get back on the right track. And hopefully, like I said, what we've seen over the last 3 days is the start of that.
Okay. I like that he came out and said it. I got to think he has to say it. Mm-hmm. And most of that interview, he didn't say much, Keith.
No.
But that, to me, that's the headline. Craig Breslow thinks they're a playoff team. He's going to be right or he's going to be wrong. And he might pay for his job if they're not, or pay for it with his job if they're not. So I'm happy he committed to that. I think they can still be one of the top six teams in the American League. The American League is terrible. Red Sox may not be good. The American League is terrible. That's not some great offseason. That doesn't make you a great team. Right, I'm not pretending that. But I think people who are like, this team is buried and they have no chance, I think you're not paying attention to the rest of the league. And teams like the Rays, which have won two-thirds of their games with a roster that's worse than this one.
Do you want to play a quick game of Guess Them Odds?
Yeah.
All right, Guess Them Odds. Red Sox to make the playoffs.
I thought this was going
to
be about Vrabel's job security. Sorry. Okay,
I'm keeping it on topic.
I got it.
Okay, it's just a fun game within the segment, so it's called Guess Them Odds.
Red Sox playoff odds?
Yeah, Red Sox to make the playoffs currently are
25%.
No. Do like plus or minus. Like a bet.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking prediction. I had prediction markets.
Okay, this is a little quick game called Guess Them Odds.
Plus 250.
Yeah. Ooh, close. Plus 210. You went over, so you win nothing. But plus 210.
Damn it.
Yeah, not bad. Do you want to play?
Rules.
All right, let's keep it going. Play Guess Them Odds. The Red Sox to miss the playoffs.
Minus 150.
No. Minus 280. They really think they're going to miss.
Now, we played this game with the Bruins all year.
Cut my music.
We played this game with the Bruins all year.
I know.
The Bruins made the playoffs.
The Bruins did. That was a buying opportunity, really, the whole second half of the season for the Bruins.
I'm not telling you the odds are in favor of them making the playoffs.
No, I'm just curious where it was, even after the really bad start, because plus 210 is not even that crazy.
Well,
yeah, the Bruins was plus 400 before the winter break. Yeah.
So, like, you know, I tweeted out the Breslow line when he said it, and I'm like, oh, Craig Breslow tells the Greg Hill Show they're going to make the playoffs. And we get a bunch of people. I believe I'm going to hit the Powerball. That's DeWitt on Twitter.
DeWitt.
At Jones, WEEI, at Keefe21. We get more of these. The Adam Sandler eating cereal laughing gif from Big Daddy.
That's a good one.
You know, we get a bunch of these.
Sure.
Of people just being like, oh, there's no shot. LOL, this year or in the future. That's Z on Twitter.
Oh, come on,
the
Z.
Get the drop ready. The Lion's Den got after him a little bit.
Lion's Den?
Lion's Den.
Good after you? Here he comes.
John Lyons, WEEI. What year are they going to be a playoff team?
Whoa.
Boom, roasted.
That was coming at you?
Well, no, I think that was coming at Breslow.
Oh, that's coming at Breslow.
That's the Lions, Dan.
Yeah.
And so, like, everybody's like, fat chance. I'm like,
don't back a lion into a corner.
I don't know. I mean, plus 210 to make the playoffs with the start they had. I don't think that's that crazy.
Not that far off.
Probably a buying opportunity.
Yeah, probably so.
That's more of a state of the American League, not the team.
I agree with that. If there were a bunch of good teams in the American League, I'd feel differently. There are
two teams over 500, and there are two teams that are at 500, and that is it.
American League. You know,
Tampa's
what?
Minus 144
to
make it.
Okay, what are they to miss?
Let's find that out. Let's play a quick game called Guess Them
Odds.
Plus 114.
That's not enough of a buying opportunity.
No,
that Vegas knows they're not even good.
No.
Plus 114, they're 24-12, plus 114 to miss the playoffs.
Uh-huh.
It's not even worth betting. I need more juice than that.
I need way more.
Anything else jump out from Breslow? We mentioned his updates on Anthony and Suarez.
Also,
we mentioned the playoff line.
It doesn't sound like they know what they're doing with Bayo yet. It was a good question by Wiggy. Like, is he going to keep coming in the second inning? And at first, Breslow was like, well, it's up to him. And you're like, it's up to him? And then he was like, well, the next couple of days, we'll, like, figure that out. So my guess is if it's his turn in the rotation and they're facing a team that has lefties, like two or three lefties in the first three guys, maybe they throw a lefty reliever for an inning and play it that way.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, did he prove – like, is one of these things – is it like Nick Pivetta, where a couple of years ago they put him in the pen and he thrived? He was great as, like, a long guy in the pen. I don't know. But it didn't seem like they had a real answer yet for that.
So – the driveline stuff, he was peppered with like three or four different driveline questions.
It's not about driveline.
Yeah, it's not about driveline. It's about the Red Sox.
About the Boston Red Sox.
Clear talking points. And so you and I have a similar feeling on this. Just embrace that you want your guys and your view and just say that.
You're in charge.
I came here.
These are the guys I want.
You know, it wasn't my manager. I wouldn't say it exactly like this, but like it wasn't my manager. These weren't my people in the front office. We're in the process of me getting my guys here. If there's a way to say that, I think that's highly defensible. You're here. It's your view. This is what you want to do. commit to it.
Yeah.
You believe in it. You clearly believe in it. And you might not be wrong about it. For all the crap you get about Driveline, you may not be wrong.
Right.
So just commit to it and say it. What I didn't like about Breslow's appearance today is he kept kind of worming his way out of just, you know, standing on business.
He didn't do that.
This is what I believe in. It's my view. If it doesn't work, I'm going to pay for it with my job. And so I'm getting out the people that aren't on board. I don't get why anybody would have a problem with that.
Yeah, I don't either.
You might think it's the wrong decision, but like it's your view. Right. You believe in it. I'm going with it.
Also, I thought it was particularly annoying when he was asked about Alex Cora and Jason Veritek separate answers.
He's like, well, first off, Alex Cora, like, what an unbelievable manager.
Like, well, keep him then if you like him so much. And then with Veritek, Greg's like, so what's the deal there? Like, is he going to have a job? He's like, well, guys, you can't tell the history of the Red Sox without Jason Veritek.
Maybe Breslow's just more sarcastic than we realize, Keith.
Oh, maybe.
Maybe he's maybe like,
oh, he what a great manager.
Oh, no,
one of the best. And, oh, my
Hope
God.
He sticks around.
Jason Veritek, he's the captain. You can't write Red Sox history
without him if he wants it. Man, you know?
Yeah, it was weird.
I think Breslow has a sneaky sense of humor. Maybe that's what he was going
I
for.
I don't think he does. 617-779-7937. Didn't he sign the thing to Shime as Brespot?
He did, actually.
Guy's got a little bit of sense.
Okay, I'll give you that.
Don't say he's got no sense of humor.
Right. Put that in his programming.
Yeah.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
If you have a badass bank card, do you have a pink one or the black one? I've got to say, both colors look and feel like a badge of honor. It's one of those little things that actually reflects how you've moved through life. Confident, intentional, and not afraid to do things differently. And that's really what Badass Bank is about. It was created to deliver true customer service, and honestly, you feel that. It's not just talk. They show up, they support you, and they make managing money feel a lot more human. What I love most is who they're for. Badass Bank is for the everyday badass, the people pushing through hard things, showing up for their families, rewriting their stories. Built by industry disruptors and backed by decades of banking experience, they're here to challenge the status quo and give you real control over your financial future. Badass Bank is looking for customers who expect more. So the question is, are you badass material? Consider this your invitation. Find your inner badass and visit BADASS.bank.
Member FDIC.
Pool days call for cookouts and lots of laundry. This Memorial Day at Lowe's, save $80 on a Charbroil Performance Series 4-Burner Gas Grill. Now just $199. Plus, get up to 45% off select major appliances to keep dishes, clothes, and food fresh. Having fun in the sun is easy with us in your corner. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 5/27. While supplies last, selection varies by location. See associate or Lowe's.com for details.
Springtime is almost here, and if you've been itching to redo every room in your home, Bob's Discount Furniture can help. When you shop at Bob's, you get wow-worthy everyday low prices on fabulous furniture for every room. Everything from stylish mid-century dining sets and top-rated Bob-O-Pedic mattresses with the best warranties in the business to pop-up sleeper sectionals, all for a fraction of what they cost elsewhere. So, stop in or shop online and get wow-worthy pieces for less. Only at Bob's.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
I feel like I kind of feel somewhat guilty now that I've chosen the music beds here. I just, when we started, I'm like, here's some music beds. Ken, you got to get some in there.
Thank you. By the way, that is
a very good band called Failure, who just came out with a brand new album that rules.
That's not a Ted pick, is it?
No, that's a me pick.
Oh, you took it back.
No, Ted all day was going to pick music, but we got, you know, Sportsin. There was some Sportsin happening here, and we got a little sidetracked.
You love Sportsin, admit it.
Listen, the Sportsin lately has been effing great. Like, if you, I could talk about Jaylen Brown and the Vrabel thing and all that. I mean,
Sox Tiger sweep. You want to get into the?
You know what though? In fairness,
I broke down the Sonny Gray cutter curve usage. 21 cutters, 15 curves.
I do think that they do deserve our respect right now. I mean, listen, because
you're getting overshadowed. Ooh. Damn it, Jaylen.
Yeah. Well, yeah, yeah. I mean, the one thing you can say is that the Red Sox have a perfect record since Chad Tracy was on the Rich, Ken, and Ted show.
True, very true.
I mean, they're just they've been killing it.
6-4 on the Tracy train.
6-4 and. Yeah, I mean, you know, as a matter of fact, if you take a look at since he's been there, it's been pretty damn good. So while since he's been there, he's just had 6-4, including, yeah, you know, the sweep they just had. The pitching's been mostly solid. The starters' ERA is averaging 3.12. Bullpen's been even better at 2.48. They've committed only two errors, which is saying something.
Oh, defense yesterday, outstanding.
Yeah, Wilder Barrio had that awesome sliding catch.
In the scene in Shawshank, when my man is up there on the roof and they're tarring the roof, mm-hmm, and they all sitting there drinking their cold suds.
And
what Andy Dufresne is not, he's not drinking. He's sitting over by the side and he's sitting there with his
grin on his face.
That's Craig Breslow now. Oh. That's the Bres man. He is got to be walking around like just nobody is happier because Breslow went all in on firing Cora.
Yeah,
and basically said,
took the power.
I think this roster is better than it's performing.
He said that again this morning on the Greg Hill Show.
There you go.
Well, Curtis asked him, is this a playoff team? He said, yes, it is.
I want to hear that clip because that sounds insane. Like to just come out and say, this is a playoff team right now.
But he's been saying it ever since he fired Cora.
All right. Let me take a look. This is from the Greg Hill Show this morning. Let's take a listen.
Today, moving forward past the firing of Alex Cora, do you believe that this is a playoff team?
I do. Yep. I believed it in the offseason. I believed it coming into spring training. I believe it right now. And this decision, this really, really difficult decision, it was driven by that. I will be, you know, the first to acknowledge that we have not played up to our potential. You know, and we've got a lot of season in front of us to do that and to get back on the right track. And hopefully, like I said, what we've seen over the last 3 days is the start of that.
You know, now that I hear it, it's like, what is he going to say? If you're in Craig Breslow's situation, are you a playoff team? It's like, you bet.
He didn't hesitate for a second, though.
Right, it was instant.
But he's basically wagered his whole career here.
Yeah.
In that belief. So I give him credit for that.
And what I like about that, Rich, is August 3rd trade deadline. He's had two terrible trade deadlines. He traded for Lucas Sims and Luis Garcia. It was horrible in 2024. Last year, Dustin May and Steven Matz, pretty bad. So this year, because Brez's reputation's on the line, they're going to get a big swing and bat coming in.
Let's hope. Let's hope, July. Baby.
Let's go.
I just want to get some sort of value for my $260 that I've paid for Nesson Plus.
That'd be really nice job.
Is it really that?
That's
much?
How much
you
it is a year.
Watching all casts or what?
That's how much it costs. Because yeah.
Listen on the Odyssey app, absolutely free.
I refuse it to pay that.
Well, so I've got. I don't have like cable. I've got YouTube TV,
and
it doesn't have Nesson. And I pay more for Nesson than all my other streamers combined, which is insane.
That makes a ton of sense. Yeah,
it's absolutely freaking insane. Like if you added my HBO that I've got Netflix and Apple
Prime.
And I have Prime, but I get the shipping for free stuff. I won't even include that. But if you add all of those, it doesn't cost as much as I pay for a team that's in last place.
Well, you get to enter the chat. You know, you got to do all kind of great programs.
Now, don't get me wrong. I like the people the people they've chosen to do the broadcast at Nesson. I do a good job. Tom Karen's great. When they have Carabas on and stuff, it's awesome.
It's about the team.
But it's like, you know what? I don't even care if they're in first place. That's still a sin.
Oh, okay.
Like 230. That's a lot of money for you to watch this. I know, and they've like butted heads, and I know I could get. You know, there's another streamer, I forget which one it is, that has Nesson on it. But it's like you don't, with that streamer, you don't get like the TNT broadcasts, which I guess doesn't matter as much anymore now that the NBA and TNT is on ESPN. But you miss out on a lot of stuff.
Well, talk to Wiggy. He knows a guy that can get you something off a truck that can get you around all that. He's announced that in the morning show.
I'll be calling Wiggy then without any question. All right.
1.5 out of the wild card. Go ahead. Back to non-sports.
1.5.
1.5.
Woof.
AL stinks.
Yeah,
AL stinks.
I know. But still, I mean, heck, that's saying something considering where they were.
I like what I've been seeing lately.
They've been an entertaining product, which I couldn't say a couple weeks ago. They've been somewhat entertaining. I like the
somewhat
attitude.
Somewhat entertaining. They had four hits last night,
but if the pitching and defense is good, they're going to be in every game.
Yeah, they struck out 15 times and still won, which is insane.
A lot of those were Tracy was asking about that. He's like, a lot of them were early in the game. You know, it didn't really matter.
And you know what? Tracy's a guy that you root for too. Like I do. I will say that about him. I like his story. He seemed like a good guy when he was on here, but talk about living the dream. Let's say he does good enough to end up being the full-time manager. Hell yeah. Good. Great. Inspire these guys. Maybe they did need a shakeup, and I hate when that happens because I liked Alex Cora. But then again, sometimes you've seen it happen before. Great coaches just end up running out of their welcome. They're done.
Well, the one guy who I think had a beef was Marcelo because he wasn't playing against lefties.
Yeah.
He's 366 average in his last 14 games. Woo! Not all that is
against
Tracy.
Lefties?
No, just all overall.
Oh, just overall.
But
okay.
So the guys, he's having a little breakout. So the young guys, I think, are benefiting, maybe at least Marcelo, from a little non-Cora, looser, whatever they're playing. That's key to the season right there.
All right. Well, I just want something entertaining to watch.
Me too, brother.
Seeing that we're not watching the effing playoffs right now. This is really strange.
And the Sixers have imploded. You know, no, it's just.
At least they put up a fight last night. But you're right. I mean, Ted and I called it. We knew that the minute that they beat the Celtics, they were going to turn back into what they were. We called it. God, it pisses me off. Especially that it's my favorite season. I love this season. Jaylen Brown, you were a great player. Yeah. I hope you don't go anywhere, but you're driving me insane.
You know, that's a good point. The Sixers getting bounced in four is just all it's going to do is make me just look at JB with those comments even
by
more
no means
excited.
Was this season a failure.
Dude, it was a failure.
Like, okay, he said that right after the game. I'll cut you some slack. Oh, then you said it the night after on a Twitch stream. All right, man, 24 hours later, but then you quadrupled down, baby.
Yeah, I stand on it. I triple down, quadruple down, whatever y'all want me to say, chat.
Okay. Have you heard the new clip yet that you were telling me about? If you haven't, Stiz, we'll play it another break. But you have not heard? Okay, we'll play another break. But I do want to play this again because out of all the comments that have been made about Jaylen Brown and what's going on with him and how strange all of this is, my favorite came from a Celtics legend, a finals MVP, Mr. Cedric Maxwell. Cedric Maxwell, a guy who just will randomly yell out the names of food when he gets excited during a broadcast. I love Cedric Maxwell. I do. And this clip.
ZD meatballs.
I'm not kidding. Sandwiches. He goes, oh, Cheetos spilled all out over the court. I don't know what
Cedric,
any of that means.
Cedric, you eating all right? What's on the menu?
I yelled him one time. I asked him one time. I was like, why do you just yell out random food names? And he goes, just because I ain't got nothing else to say. He was just like, oh, just put something past my head. How great is it to be in your broadcasting career where you can literally just say anything
so awesome.
And everyone's like, dude, love it.
So that was awesome. John Sterling, basically. It was his whole Yankees career.
Can I just say one thing about John Sterling before we move on? Mm-hmm. So John Sterling obviously said some really dumb stuff in the broadcast. He just passed away. And I will say one thing about that team. Susan Waldman, as grating as her voice was, in those final years when she was with John Sterling, and John Sterling literally couldn't see the game, like, you know, he would call a home run, and it was like a pop-up to the outfield. Susan Waldman, as much crap as she gets, stuck up for him and tried to cover. Like, when he would call, like, a bad call, he'd be like, oh, yeah, I mean, sure did look like that could have been a little further than it was.
She was a ride or die.
And you know that Waldman knew exactly what was going on. But it was just kind of an awesome thing for as much crap as she gets, and she, you know, Roger Clemens is coming. It was great. But I thought that was, like, an awesome thing for her to do. So, you know, those calls at the end, he could have a little bit of dignity.
Yeah, no doubt.
He was there way too long.
That's a good
point.
Good. Yep.
All right, so let's get to Cedric Maxwell. Back to cornbread. Let's hear what he has to say about the Jaylen Brown situation and the twists and turns of this comment.
They asked him, they said, what do you think about this year? He said, it's my favorite year because people have put the Celtics down. Think about it. This was a gap year for the Celtics. They weren't even supposed to be playing. So I think that's right. Why I think he enjoyed it so much, the fact that he was able to put this in everybody's face. And I got to understand this, Joe. The Celtics pissed me off, but they gave me $350 million. You know what? Told me all the time, if you want to, I don't care. Don't give me an umbrella, okay? Ocho, give me a damn umbrella, okay? If they peeing like that, Ocho, you always talking about that club down in that place down in Miami, wherever it is, Tootsie's or wherever. Yeah.
Peeing like that down there.
I'm coming down there with some rain shoes on. You pissed off about what? I ain't pissed off. I'm good.
What? What is he talking about? What club?
Use your imagination.
I know, but like, I understand, but there are sanitary laws. Yeah. I guarantee there's no pot. I mean, I don't know what's happening in some of these clubs they're going to in Miami.
Back room, man. The back room. The champagne room.
Yeah, a different what's type of champagne. I don't know if anybody wants that.
Get a damn umbrella, okay? If they peeing like that.
I love how he's like, right? That place you told me about, right? Right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh,
no.
Guy's like, I have no idea what you're saying.
The Celtics pissed me off, but they gave me $350 million. You know what told me all the time? I don't care.
Oh, I do have to say this, though, because I think what's missing with that excellent drop there is he did, at the end of the day, Cedric had the team's back. Like, nobody is defending the Celtics other than the people that work for the Celtics. Everybody in the NBA is basically saying what Jaylen Brown said was stupid and irresponsible, and you shake your head at, except for people that cover the team.
Yeah. I mean,
I think they're all trying to do PR damage for him.
I agree with Kendrick Perkins. You know, he should, you know, if you like Brad Stevens so much, make his job easier. How about that? He's talking about how, like, Brad Stevens, I can't believe people had to ask him about this. Well, I mean, they're asking him because you obviously talked to Tracy McGrady. And Tracy McGrady echoed the words that you obviously told him. Because where else would he hear it from? He's your mentor. So it came from you. You're the one. You know what you did? You're like, you set a fire and you said, wow, I can't believe it. The fire department
he
had to come and put out the fire.
All the time.
I know.
That's what he does.
He loves being talked about.
That's what bothers me. The fact that McGrady would say this and then he would not address that on the Twitch stream last night means that he wants it out there. He's not pissed at McGrady for leaking this.
He does. Yeah. And that's exactly,
that's a good point.
It's why he continues to do this stuff, back and forth with Stephen A. Smith. He loves to feel slighted. He loves to, and you know what? If that makes him great and it makes him play better, then fine. As I said, none of this is means for him to leave the team. He's not doing anything egregious, but there are times where, and Ted, you can probably give me examples even better than the ones I'm thinking of. There are times where a team looks at a player, and even if they're good, it's like, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of becoming too much of a pain in the ass to deal with, and maybe we can get something for him. The only thing I'm thinking of right now, and this might not be a fair comparison, but do you remember when Randy Moss did that impromptu press conference, the weight of the earth is on these shoulders, and it almost seemed like he was bitching his way off the team?
There's a million, like Belichick.
T.O. with the, the driveway thing.
If Belichick was the coach for the Celtics, you think he would be okay with this?
That's a great,
There's a million probably examples, that being one that you just mentioned, of for the coach I used to play for would not tolerate this kind of stuff. He would see it as a detriment to the team.
Yeah.
I don't care how good you are. I mean, there's a point. But
and
I just feel like,
and yet, like Aaron Hernandez, there were things that were, it was like, what? They're trying to get a flop house for certain guys, and what?
There is a line in which a coach like Belichick would be like, this guy's not worth it.
Yeah.
He's actually doing more damage than he's worth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And I don't, we're not at that point, I don't believe. It's just, at some point, like, are you playing with fire here, Jalen? Are you pushing it a little too far?
I know one way to put out that fire.
Yeah.
Peeing
like that down there. I'm coming down
there
with some rain shoes on.
There you go. That's a great pull of rain shoes by Cedric.
What are rain shoes? Yeah,
I believe normal humans call them boots.
Boots. All right.
Rain shoes. Sure. I mean, listen. When it gets you, you're gonna end up all wet.
Give
in
me
the
a
end.
Damn umbrella, okay? If they peeing like that,
I can imagine Cedric Maxwell. It's like, what's the password?
Now, do you think the Celtics are pissed that he's going at Stephen A. Smith on Twitter? Like, is he mad that he's going at people on social media?
I think they'd rather not have him say anything right now. Because, you know what? I bet that all they want to do is just not be spoken about. Because they're all embarrassed. The entire organization's embarrassed with how that ended. And you know what you don't want? You don't want people like Stephen A. Smith saying, why are you talking? You blew a historic lead. The Boston Celtics have never in the history of the franchise ever blown a lead that was a 3-1 lead. And every time he talks... they have to also slight the Celtics.
Exactly.
And how much they failed. And they have to insult the whole... If you're like... If you're Sam Hauser, if you're Peyton Pritchard, aren't you just like, dude, leave us alone. Yeah. The season's over.
You know what I'm saying is the first order of business is that he needs to be quiet.
Because I think it was just a month ago, 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, where people looked at the Celtics and were talking about the Celtics as if they were the model franchise. Look at how they did without their best player. Look at how successful they were. 56 wins, blah, blah, blah. And now they're going to talk about you completely different because of how it ended. And now you add this on top of it, Jaylen Brown. Now the Celtics look more like people are laughing at them now.
I'm sorry, real quick. Are we still talking about the Celtics as much as we have been if Jaylen Brown had just not said anything?
No, that was like a game last night. I watched the stream, the Twitch stream, this is like game seven. I mean, I was so into it. I'm like breaking it down. I'm cutting clips. He's telling me to cut clips. I'm cutting clips.
You know who's probably liking this? Joe Mazzulla. Because I would think he would have been on the hot seat more than anybody when the season was over. It would have been like, dude, did Joe Mazzulla blow it with that lineup so much? That they And Joe Mazzulla.
No, they're not talking about me.
Not talking about me. So maybe Mazzulla would.
Year we won. Or JT. Just as empty as we did when we lost.
All right, bro.
Freaking weird.
We're going to get to you, Joe.
You are, man. I don't know if it's an act or not. All I know is that he's gotten off, kind of easily because of this whole Jaylen Brown thing.
Well, we should read the Stephen A. response, okay? So Jaylen Brown on Twitter said, I'll be quiet, stop streaming if you be quiet, and retire. Let's give the people what they want. So Stephen A. responds, bro, I got love for you, so I'm not going to even go there. Yeah. Folks are looking out for you, and you don't even realize it.
Oof.
Here you are making this kind of noise, and it hasn't even been a week since you lost the 3-1 lead. You're home, a champion and a finals MVP, saying his favorite season is the season he's home in the first round. This is not about me. It's about you and what you said. Enjoy your offseason.
Steven's right.
I'm a fan of his. Like,
next
I think he keeps it real.
President Stephen A.
Stephen A. keeps it real, dude.
He loves asses.
Yes.
He does.
But he's
got audio of that.
He's been critical of JB, and then he supported JB. Like, he tells you what he thinks in real time on what's going on. I think he's fair. My point is, I think he looks at things from a fair prism. So I like what he has to say about JB and the Sissons.
And by the way, Jaylen, Stephen A. wins every time you talk about him. Every time you talk about him, because we're talking about Stephen A., which means people are listening and tuning in.
That's true.
So if you are not a fan of Stephen A., what do? Ignore him. But what you're doing is you're giving him more power, Mr. State Your Source. Mr. Please enjoy your championship.
He's got to respond.
I know.
Can't let it go.
So did you tell me that Cedric Maxwell was also talking about that this was my favorite season thing? Can we have that next? Do you think?
No. He was talking about the Vrabel.
Oh, he talked about Vrabel?
Oh, yeah. The boat thing.
Cedric did?
Ocho, Cedric.
Rain shoes?
Yeah.
You mean on a boat?
On a boat,
like,
yeah.
I mean, it happens when you get in a boat, you get wet.
Hey, he's like that down there. I'm coming down there with some rain shoes on.
Some rain shoes.
That brain of his is incredible. Where he goes. Where he... Two and two doesn't always equal four with Cedric. I love it.
No, it does not. And if people
Warriors!
I don't know why he yelled that. All right. Well, you know what? Let's hear that clip because I would like to hear Cedric Maxwell talking about Vrabel.
Jackson's in the back. A couple swears in it, so we're editing it.
No, not Cedric Maxwell.
Yep, Cedric went off.
No, we don't. We'll hear it next break. All right, because I want to hear it. If it's
Jackson's in the back, I would say about 6:30. We'll get that.
Jackson's here. Listen, if it's a lot of beeps, you know it's going to be good. All right, we'll take your calls in the meantime. 617-779-7937. You also have time to get in on the take grenade. That is the Odyssey app. Go to WEEI. Press the little microphone. You leave the message for us, and incoming, we will play that next hour. So give us a call, and we'll take those next.
If you have a badass bank card, do you have a pink one or the black one? I've got to say, both colors look and feel like a badge of honor. It's one of those little things that actually reflects how you've moved through life. Confident, intentional, and not afraid to do things differently. And that's really what Badass Bank is about. It was created to deliver true customer service, and honestly, you feel that. It's not just talk. They show up, they support you, and they make managing money feel a lot more human. What I love most is who they're for. Badass Bank is for the everyday badass, the people pushing through hard things, showing up for their families, rewriting their stories. Built by industry disruptors and backed by decades of banking experience, they're here to challenge the status quo and give you real control over your financial future. Badass Bank is looking for customers who expect more. So the question is, are you badass material? Consider this your invitation. Find your inner badass and visit BADASS.bank.
Member FDIC.
Pool days call for cookouts and lots of laundry. This Memorial Day at Lowe's, save $80 on a Charbroil Performance Series 4-Burner Gas Grill. Now just $199. Plus, get up to 45% off select major appliances to keep dishes, clothes, and food fresh. Having fun in the sun is easy with us in your corner. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 5/27. While supplies last, selection varies by location. See associate or Lowe's.com for details.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain and the letter x.com/AI.
Only at True North Stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.